Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritis. Today is Friday, June 19th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Took yesterday off. I needed a mental break. The insanity is killing me. Title of today's podcast, Second Wave of Insanity. I don't know. Second wave, third wave, thousandth. I mean, we're in a banana republic. Every day's crazier. We're going to talk about some of the financial economic figures that came out yesterday. Initial jobless claims, continuing claims, Federal Reserve's balance sheet, update the U.S. debt clock, over $26 trillion spinning out of control. Nobody gives a damn. Apple is closing some stores. That's part of the insanity today. And then on a tragic note, a young college student who was a user of the trading platform Robinhood, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with, either because you use it or you've heard it in the financial media, killed himself, committed suicide a week ago because he saw a huge negative balance on his account that he thought he was owed, over $700,000. So we're going to talk about that because all of this is connected to what's going on with all of the money printing, all of this. Yeah, go ahead, take a risk. Go ahead, do something you've never done before. That's the world in which we live. This is the climate that we are creating. People that don't know the difference between a balance sheet and a hole in a wall. People who don't know how to analyze a cash flow statement from looking at a hole in a wall. They don't know the difference. There's no education. Have at it. It's a complete free-for-all. Let's give people who don't know what they're doing hundreds of thousands of dollars, evidently, in leverage. What could possibly go wrong? That's the insanity. That's just part of it. Well, markets faded today, actually closing in the red. The Dow Jones Industrial Average giving back 200 points. The S&P giving back 18. NASDAQ 100 giving back 3. Across the pond, they were up in the green, but not strongly, to close out the week. Shares of Apple closed down just 2 points. Just 2 points, despite the fact that they announced this afternoon that they are going to be closing down more stores. And that sent the markets into sell mode. Got to sell off. Let's not pay attention to the riots. Let's not pay attention to 46 million Americans filing for unemployment over the past 12 weeks. No. That's not justification for these markets to sell off. God forbid Apple sends out a memo. We're going to close down some stores. Oh, well. Americans can't touch their iPhones. They can't have access to an iPad. That's it. That's part of the second wave of insanity. And of course, they are closing these stores because we are starting to see a continuation of the first wave of COVID-19 making its way through some of these middle America states. So this is no surprise. This was predicted by the epidemiologists. We knew that this was going to take its first run in the major cities on the coast. Those are the dense populations. That's where people travel to. And it would make its way eventually into middle America. And that is currently what we are witnessing. So it's going to be very interesting to see what transpires over the next few weeks, because President Trump is going to hold what I believe he is considering his kickoff rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, tomorrow. Which just the rally itself inside the arena is going to host about 19 to 20,000 people. But outside the arena, hundreds of thousands of people could be there. And of course, he was sending a message out there on Twitter. Anybody who wants to act violently is not going to be dealt with in the same manner in which these rioters were dealt with in cities such as Seattle or Portland, Oregon or New York City or anywhere else or Atlanta. Because we continue to see the chaos and insanity that is ensuing down there. So, I got it. You know, you have to applaud the president on one hand to say, okay, he's taking a stand, don't do it. But then on the other, it's sort of egging it on. It can be interpreted both ways. Let's hope everything's peaceful. You have the Trump fans. Let them have their rally. That's what this country's about. That's who they support. Let them go support them. But this will get out of hand because there's a lot of people in the Trump camp and just independent-minded people who witnessed all of those riots and said, this is ridiculous. Why? Because it is ridiculous. Now, a lot of people may want to get violent with these rioters if these peaceful protests, perhaps in Tulsa, turn into riots. You can bet your rear end it'll get violent quick. Pay attention. There could be some big news over the weekend, but let's hope that it is simply peaceful. This is just an exercise of people's rights to protest peacefully and for people to attend a campaign rally. This is 2020. This is a presidential election campaign. Let it go off peacefully. That's what this country is supposed to be about. That's what's supposed to differentiate us from every other type of banana republic, although we're a banana republic now. But at least let us salvage a little bit of that. Please. But who's going to listen? On the commodity front, nice little rally for both WTI and Brent. WTI is trading up $39.75 a barrel. Brent, the international metric, $41.94 a barrel. Natural gas is trading $1.67. A good day for both gold and silver. Gold is at $1,743 an ounce. Silver, $17.60. With the continuation of central banks the world over, with the continuation of Jay Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, giving his testimony this week before Congress, of course, via virtual Skype or Zoom or however they were doing it, continuing to put the pedal to the metal, continuing to ask Congress, or at least strongly suggest to them, to do more. Have to do something. Just like President Hoover said during the Great Depression, I don't know what to do, but we're going to do something. And of course, what they did sowed the seeds for the Great Depression. Stay out of it. Let the markets correct themselves. That's what they do. That's what they do. You have to trust the system. You have to trust. Well, of course, we don't have free market capitalism here, but that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to adopt. That's what we're supposed to implement. And when the going gets tough, that's when you have to trust it the most. It's good to be on board when everything's nice. It's easy to have a marriage if everybody's lovey-dovey. What happens if she starts yelling at you or he starts yelling at her? You leave or do you work it out? That's when you test it. Secret Service agent, is he going to take the bullet or is he just going to say, well, in theory I would. So what is Congress to do? They're going to do more. That's why precious metals are going up. And there was a article out, I believe, by Goldman Sachs. They're expecting it to go up about 11% to 2,000. I think that's low. I think gold is going to go much higher than that. Of course, it's a process. It'll take time. But given what these central bankers are doing, people will eventually flock. The smart money will eventually flock back to hard, true money, which is gold and silver. And of course, silver also has those industrial uses, many of them for the 21st century. So even if you were to be a proponent and a believer of some sort of miraculous V-shaped recovery, of course, we don't adhere to that here at the Capital News, but if you even should, just for the sake of argument, and of course, it is a possibility, I just don't think it's a probability, well, then that too should boast well for silver. But again, all bets are off with what these governments around the world, central banks, are doing. They are printing money like it's going out of style because it is. You can't print gold, you can't print silver. You have to mine it. And then you got to bid up the price. And that's exactly what I believe is going to happen in due time. It's just a question to what degree and when it really starts to ramp up. So pay attention to it. I don't give investment advice here. I give information. And when I say, take a look at it because it could benefit your portfolio. It's definitely part of diversification, if nothing else. Gold and silver. Now, Uncle Sam's 10-year Treasury junk note, the 10-year here, yielding 0.7%. And again, audience, it's all junk. Nobody wants it. Nobody's buying it except the Federal Reserve. Go ahead, spend more money. You already did $2-3 trillion with the Nobody Cares Act. You're going to do a couple more trillion, maybe $1 trillion with infrastructure, maybe. Another $2-3 trillion, they will get together, Democrats and Republicans, to spend more money that we don't have, to bail out the states who are broke, in an attempt, perhaps, to bail out their own constituents and citizens, because they too are broke. So, the only resort that these quote-unquote leaders think is responsible, that they think is prudent, perhaps, is the printing press, because that's the only weapon they have left. And it's been somewhat effective, at least for keeping asset prices higher. They don't have to do it. Jay Powell says everything's fine, markets are now functioning, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to buy bonds anyway. We're going to bail out these investors who lent their own money to these corporations. We're going to bail them out. And in an indirect fashion, and it could be argued directly as well, they're bailing out these corporations. Because by doing this, they allow these corporations to have a lower rate of interest than they otherwise would if this was truly trading on a free market basis. And of course, if and when, and it's really just a matter of when, that gets out of control, meaning the market says, 3%, 4%, 5% is not going to cut it. You got to give me 7, 8, 9%. Well, guess who's going to come into the market to buy up those bonds again? You guessed it, the Federal Reserve. This is not within their charter. They can only purchase bonds that are backed with a government guarantee. That's why they buy treasuries. Of course, they do that on the secondary market, but it's just putting in a middleman. It's debt monetization anyway. You cut it, makes no difference. But they'll play it off. They'll play the schematics for you. And they can purchase mortgage-backed securities, which they've been doing for the past decade, given the great financial crisis. Residential mortgage-backed securities. Now they're going to be getting into commercial mortgage-backed securities as well, because commercial real estate is dead, which is what we have been discussing here for over a year, that there was going to be and is going to be another real estate collapse. Top down, bottom up. Commercial real estate is part of the top down part. The bottom up is because you got 46 million Americans out of work in 12 weeks. Now, of course, some of these people are going back to work. That's a good thing. Some of these people are simply being put back on payroll because that is one of the contingencies of these PPP loans. That's what's skewing all these numbers. That's what makes the headlines funny numbers, funny business, which I explained to this audience months ago when this came out. And of course, Thunder Thumbs wasted no time a couple of weeks ago when the May jobs report came out and claimed that there was 2.5 million Americans new jobs created in the month of May. But of course, if you read the fine print at the end of the report, which we take the time here to do, oh, well, if we really calculated things properly, like, you know, like we're supposed to do, unemployment would have been 3 percentage points higher. But let's not pay attention to that little fact that instead of having an unemployment rate of 13% or whatever it is, now it would be north of 16. Let's not pay attention to the fine details of these matters. And of course, unfortunately, 1.5 million Americans filed for unemployment insurance. That was the initial claims number, another 1.5 million. The markets were anticipating about 1.2, 1.3 million. So unfortunately, another 1.5 filing for unemployment insurance. On the continued claims front, it's plateauing, which is not good for any type of strong V-shaped recovery. You would think if you're going to really have any type of strong V-shaped recovery that we are told by our dear leaders that we're going to witness, that you would continue to see continued claims going down, which means people are getting called back to work or they're finding jobs elsewhere. That, so far, has not been the case. Over the past few weeks, they have been plateauing, and they currently sit at 20.5 million. 20.5 million. Last week, it was 20.6 million, so not that big of a drop. Again, it is plateauing over the past few weeks. Now, to the Fed's balance sheet, if you can believe this one, it's got to be some type of mistake, some type of blip. But even they need a break. Still north of $7 trillion, but slightly down week over week. Last week, we were at 7.1. What do we got here? Let me see. $7,168 billion. Now we're at $7,094 billion. So slightly down, slightly down. And isn't it a surprise over the past few days that the markets were leveling off? Interesting. Take out that liquidity, take out the funny money, and markets start to go down just a little bit. But not too much, right? Not this week anyway. This was Thunder Thumb's birthday week. It's the law. Can't go down too much this week. We'll see what happens next week. You already have all of the BS headlines. Trade deal is back on. China's going to buy more stuff. That was already baked into the cake. How stupid do they think we are? It's the same headlines. They continue to rule them out time and time again. And for some reason, these crackheads, again, answering my own question, they are crackheads on Wall Street, continue to do. They continue to bid up the markets. They continue to buy the bait. It has ramifications, ladies and gentlemen, like we discussed on so many previous podcasts. Free was never so expensive. This is all connected. It's all connected. This is just a big game to these people. But it has serious real-world consequences. And one of them, unfortunately, is this young man who committed suicide. This is out of CNN Business earlier today. Apparent suicide by 20-year-old Robinhood trader who saw a negative $730,000 balance. You heard that correctly. Negative $730,000 balance prompts app, the Robinhood app, to make changes. The family of a 20-year-old student says he died by suicide after confusion over an apparent negative balance of $730,000 on his Robinhood account. Now they are demanding answers from the millennial-focused trading app. Alexander Kearns, who was using Robinhood to trade complex options instruments, was found dead on June 12th. According to local authorities in Plainfield, Illinois. His death is being treated as a suicide, according to the family and Robinhood as well. It isn't clear what factors contributed to his death. The tragedy has drawn attention to the potential dangers of the free trading boom inspired by Robinhood, which has given young first-time investors easy access to exotic financial instruments typically used by sophisticated investors. The Kearns family believes Alexander was misled by the app's interface suggesting he owed $730,000 when that was not really the case. Quote, the kid threw himself in front of a train over nothing because a tech company can't figure out they shouldn't show a negative $730,000 cash balance to a 20-year-old kid, end quote, said Bill Brewster, a relative of Kearns. Doesn't that sum it up? Threw himself in front of a train over nothing. Funny money. It's worthless pieces of paper, and we're all going to find this out here very soon. Mark my words. You can't print this into infinity and think that there are no costs associated with it whatsoever. This is a tragedy. It really is. But these apps, they could never pull this off if it wasn't for all of this funny money being printed at will, no oversight, no checks and balances whatsoever. None. Options trading is for sophisticated investors. It is. You have to understand what you are doing. You can make a lot of money and you can lose a lot of money if you don't know what you're doing, especially if you have a margin account and you're using borrowed money to do it. This is the insanity that's going on out here. I want everybody to be educated. That's why I do this podcast, to understand how to invest in these markets, how to use them to make your life better. That's why we wrote the Cynic's Guide to Investing, to educate people on the markets, to grow your personal net worth, to retire with confidence, and in that journey to invest and trade with confidence. These apps just pop up. It's the wild, wild west. Have at it. Do what you want. Risk is all on you. These are the effects when you do this stuff to people who don't understand everything. And I'm not saying this is all Robin Hood's fault or that it's all the Federal Reserve's fault and all the system's fault. I don't know this individual. He may very well have had other mental problems. But this is clearly seeing a negative $730,000 balance that you think you owe somebody. That's going to have an effect on a lot of people's psyche. Especially a young man who doesn't fully understand, apparently, according to his family, all of the intricacies of these types of financial instruments. It's just unbelievable, but really it's not surprising. It just isn't. And here you have another little tidbit of a fact when it comes to Robinhood. They're growing rapidly, adding more than 3 million users in 2020 alone as of May 4th. About half of those new users were first-time investors, according to the company. 3 million new users just in 2020 alone. And about half were first-time users, according to the company. Again, these are the people. A lot of them are the same degenerates who can't pick winners in the football games, but they ain't playing football. They ain't playing soccer, baseball, hockey, basketball. So, well, they got to get their fix somewhere else. Uncle Sam's giving them an extra $600 cash to be unemployed. So, hey, let's open up a Robinhood account and see if we can get lucky, because the Fed says we're just going to print money and we're not going to let these markets go down. So it's easy money. This is suckering in so many people. That's why I get so upset, because there are real consequences to these actions that are being undertaken. The real lesson for a lot of younger people especially to learn would be to see and witness a bear market, to understand and to learn how to invest and trade in a bear market, how to maybe sit this one out, allow the dust to settle, learn how to value companies, to see which babies got thrown out with the bathwater and say, oh, you know what? That stock should not be that low, because they have strong cash flow. They got a strong balance sheet. They got a good business model. Well, unfortunately, many of these people have no idea what those things are. They've never even heard of a balance sheet or a cash flow statement or what a business model is and how to analyze it. Does this make sense? Is it going to withstand the test of time? What kind of economy are we going to have after this bear market, after this correction, after this recession, after this depression? Will it still be standing, or is it going to go by the wayside? And invest and trade accordingly. But no, when you see headlines, when you see these idiots go before Congress and testify under oath that they're going to do whatever it takes, forever long it takes, and you got other people on Twitter and the financial mainstream media influencing these people, thinking everything's fine, everything's going to go back to normal, this is going to be the greatest economy ever, all the BS we hear on a daily basis, this confuses people because they want to believe these people. They want to believe a president of the United States. They want to believe a financial pundit on CNBC or Bloomberg or Fox Business or somebody that they admire on Twitter. They want to believe these people. And you might get away with it if you're lucky for the short term. And who knows? Maybe I'm 100% wrong. maybe they finally crack the code. All you have to do for anything is just print money. You'll be perfectly fine. Spend and borrow. Spend money we do not have and are not going to have for years. We're going to spend $10 trillion here, people, if not more. That's half of our annual output. And you think this is a free lunch? You think there aren't going to be consequences to the other side? And if there are not consequences on the other side, then why the hell are we paying taxes? Because if all they have to do is print money to solve all these problems, then what are they taxing me for? Why are you paying Uncle Sam? He's got a printing press. If you're going to work 40, 50 hours a week, 100% of it should be yours then. There's an idea. Unbelievable. Where are we with the national debt? $26,234 billion and counting. Remember, folks, last week we just touched over $26 trillion for the first time. Deficit of $3.4 trillion and counting. And of course, that will be north of $4 trillion by the time fiscal year 2020 comes to a conclusion, which will be at the end of September. And I don't know if they're going to get $1 trillion worth of infrastructure spending in and passed by that time, if they're going to come up with other some sort of other $2 or $3 trillion monstrosity, whatever it is, by that time. They're definitely going to kick the can down the road. It's a presidential election. So both sides have an incentive to extend moratoria and forbearance on student loan payments, on rent payments, on mortgages, can't get evicted, can't have a negative effect to your credit score, going to extend unemployment benefits perhaps. Yet on the other side, they're going to tell you everything's fine. They're going to tell you we're coming roaring back. They're going to tell you there's nothing to see here. Yet, again, don't just listen to what they say. Pay attention to what they do. That's the more important aspect. They're going to shine a lot of fancy and shiny things in front of you to distract you. Pay attention to what they do. That's why we read the fine print of the jobs report. That's why we read the whole thing. Now, of course, when it was back in April, and we read April's jobs report, which of course would have come out in May, we took the time to read that in its entirety because it was historic. And we said we were going to read May's report in its entirety in June, which we did a few weeks ago, because this is history in the making. Well, if you didn't read the whole report, and all you did was listened to people talking about the headlines, you would have thought everything was great. That's what I'm saying. You cannot just trust the headlines. That's why I don't even like paying attention to the news. Just, we know what data points to focus on here. Go to those sources, go to those sites, read all of the reports, read them in their entirety, and conduct your own analysis. That's what we do here. It's not about how good does it look on the outside. Lift the hood, look at the engine. That's the important stuff. Because this is nothing to sneeze at. It was an additional 3 percentage points when it came to unemployment. So we'll see what type of smoke and mirrors they give us within a few weeks when it comes to the June jobs report. It's one thing after the next. Apple's closing some stores. That's finally the catalyst to get the markets to sell off a little bit. Not 46 million Americans unemployed. Not people sick. Not some hospitals in the Midwest being overwhelmed. Not Rocket Man over there in North Korea or maybe his sister blowing up their embassy. Not a potential clash between the Chinese and the Indians on their border. Not the saber rattling with Iran and Venezuela. The global protests that continue to ensue. Not the fracturing that is taking place in Hong Kong. None of that. Just if you can't get into an Apple store, that's when markets sell off. And that pretty much tells you all you need to know about this second wave of insanity that we are seeing. So that's it. It's Friday. Pay attention to the weekend. Again, I hope it is completely peaceful all across the country, but especially in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because that is just going to be ground zero for a lot of Trump supporters and a lot of people who are against Donald Trump and who just want to continue to push their narrative of anarchy and riots in the streets. This is just mixing oil and water, but let's hope and pray for the best. If there's anything that is really earth-shattering or breaking, I will, of course, do a week ahead segment. Other than that, you will catch me back here next week. Although I will say I'm probably going to be on vacation next week, although I am going to take some of my equipment with me, so I hope to at least do a few podcasts on the road next week, especially if there is any type of major news. So just a heads up. But nevertheless, enjoy the weekend. I'll catch you here next week. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.